This sermon is from the series entitled Eyewitness Accounts, the Gospel of Luke, preached at Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington.
What would you like to be remembered for? I graduated from high school 30 years ago. No one planned a high school reunion. I think my class is like the anti-reunion group. I don't know what's going on. I noticed that two other classes in decades had reunions, but we decided not to have one. But a few of my friends and I may actually get together when we go out to Iowa this weekend and I spend some time at my folks' house. But it really started me to think about my friends and what I remember of them. Now, this is the fresh, young-eyed Brad Voss right there. I tried to find the photo of me in my pastel pink and, you know, purple, which was cool back then. This senior photo, but my yearbooks were too packed away. But this is one photo that my mom had sent me not that long ago from a handout there. For some of us, you know, 30 years might be a high school reunion, but some of us, or 20 years, it may be, what do we want to be remembered by when we're gone? I want you to think about what you want to be remembered for, because my guess is that if you wanted something to be remembered for, it wasn't what the main character in our text is this week. I'll try and sing it for you. Annika asked if I was going to sing it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Right? I won't make you sing the rest of it. But this is what he was known for, being a very short person who climbed up in a tree. Right? He has a song that all of us teach, well, a lot of us teach our kids. I can still sing it to you today. But I want you to know that that's not all that there is to the Zacchaeus story. As a matter of fact, him climbing up the tree is just the beginning of Jesus revealing himself to him and him working in a powerful way. And so today we're going to look at or continue our sermon series here in Luke. We are going to look at the Zacchaeus story in Luke 19 and his encounter with Jesus. So if you want to read along with me, we use the NIV translation, but this is the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man there was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guests of sinners?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here I am now. I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Well, if you remember last week, we noted that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's actually been on his way to Jerusalem since Luke 9, which we looked at way back in 2022. I looked at it. But he's driving on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows that his final days are coming, and so he comes to the town of Jericho. Now, last week, we saw that he healed the blind man, and he revealed that he was the Messiah, who he said he was, by healing the blind person, which was one of the signs that the messianic figure was there. And so, as you can imagine, the word was spreading. I mean, if somebody who had been blind and begging on the edge of the street suddenly gets healed and he can see, I am sure that news spreads like wildfire. Now, we know it spread like wildfire because it made its way all the way to Zacchaeus, and it created this desire in Zacchaeus to see Jesus. Now, you need to realize that it's a big deal that Zacchaeus knew about this, because if there was ever a despised person, it was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. And so if he found out that Jesus had performed this miracle, and he is isolated from his society as he was, then word was spreading very, very fast. And this man is as unlikely of a convert as we could see from the Jewish folks is for two different reasons. One, Zacchaeus was embedded in the Roman culture. For Jews, the way that they showed their devotion to God, that they took their relationship with God seriously, is they separated themselves. They followed their own customs, their own laws, and their own rules. But Zacchaeus was a Jewish man who decided that he was going to pursue wealth by taking wealth from others, by usually over-collecting taxes. And it says that not only was he a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. So he was as embedded in the Roman culture as you can get. Now, he also was very wealthy. I mean, he had to have lived a comfortable life. Jericho was a major trade hub, and so there was the potential for lots of taxes. So the tax collectors who went and out and took the cash took their amount of money on top of the taxes to make themselves wealthy, and Zacchaeus got his percentage from them. That's the way it worked. And so it's obvious that Zacchaeus is a very wealthy person and lived a comfortable life. But yet, there's an ache inside of him to go and see Jesus. Now, I want you to remember the context of this passage. It's important for us to realize that it was just a few short verses ago that Jesus cautioned that the wealth can often hinder people from pursuing God. And so if there is anyone in this whole situation, in this story, that it would seem that had no chance of coming to faith in Christ, it would be the person who sold himself out to the Romans, who was wealthy because Jesus said that you have to go through it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a wealthy person to put their hope and trust in Jesus. Jesus is setting this up, and Luke is setting this up. That's the way he's crafted this story for us to see what is going on here. He wants us to see that he is as unlikely of a convert or someone to put their hope and trust in Jesus as you can find. But yet, here's the amazing thing. As we saw in Luke 18, what is possible, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And we see that God was working in Zacchaeus' heart and put this thirst and this hunger in him that he wanted to see who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, Zacchaeus was willing to humiliate himself to see Jesus. It says that he ran and then he climbed a tree. Now, climbing trees can be endearing if you're a young kid. It's fun to do, right? I mean, it's a fun thing. I had all kinds of trees that I like to climb. I had one down, a weeping willow down by a creek where I grew up that I would climb and build a tree for it in. It's a fun thing. But when you are a wealthy person who is embedded in the Roman culture, this is in more refined, running and climbing are two things you would not do. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. And so he would do whatever it took, even if it meant humiliating himself, to go and see this man. But here's the thing that's interesting, is Zacchaeus gets himself lodged up in that tree, and then Jesus takes over. Jesus actually pursues Zacchaeus. There's a human part. Zacchaeus does what he can. He's willing to do whatever it takes to see this man that he's heard about, this teacher and everything. And he's up in this tree, and all of a sudden, Jesus takes over, and he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' home. Now, we don't know how he knew that Zacchaeus was up in the tree. Maybe there's a scuttlebutt about this tax collector. You know, everybody else is like, hey, if this guy's up here, we're going to get away because we don't want to be by anybody unclean. He could have heard people murmuring or muttering about this silly guy who's up in the tree. How dare he do this and you know, put himself in such an awkward spot. Or it could have been divine, where he realized that there was something, this man who needed to see Jesus and have an encounter with him. We don't know the backstory, but we do know that Jesus stopped and was under the tree, and he looked up and saw Zacchaeus, and he says, come down, I'm going to your house right today. We all know that part of it, right? He sang the song, I'm going to your house today. But here's the deal. And here's the powerful thing. This man who was willing to give up all decorum to go try and find after him, who could have easily been seen this rabbi called him out. He could have been afraid, thought, what's this rabbi going to do? Because most rabbis look down on the tax collector. He could have had I don't want anything to do with this. But no, what Luke records is that Zacchaeus responded positively to Jesus' invitation. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. There was a joy. This teacher, this rabbi, who he had heard everything about, was taking an interest in him and invited himself into his home. But rather than ignoring it or even being grudgingly going with it, Luke says that he welcomed the invitation. He was joyful in the invitation. He was excited. He was the only one excited in the crowd. Luke tells us that the rest of the crowd couldn't believe that Jesus would spend time with such a sinner. In their mind, a godly person separates himself from everybody else. They do not put themselves in a spot where they would have fellowship and eat a meal with sinners. And eating a meal and staying in somebody's home was a sign that you were having a deeper relationship with them back in the day. It wasn't like, I'm just going to stay at somebody's house. I don't even really know them. It's an Airbnb. There's a deeper level of that. It was a sign of relationship. And these people could not believe that Jesus, who had just claimed to be the Messiah, who was supposed to come and cleanse everybody from the Romans and get rid of all these people who were traitors and went for them, would spend time with him. And so they murmured, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. They were perplexed. But the kindness of Jesus and the invitation of Jesus melted Zacchaeus' heart, Luke tells us. And what we see is that Zacchaeus repented. It says that he stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor. Now I want you to think about this. A good Jew gave 10%. A generous person gave 20%. Zacchaeus gave half of his possessions. Not only that, it says, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times that amount. So I want you to notice the two things that are there. One, he was aware of his sin. You don't say to Jesus, if I cheated somebody, I'll pay them back, if you don't know that you already cheated them, right? I mean, you wouldn't even bring that up if you didn't know that you yourself had taken advantage of people and you had to make restoration and restitution. But there's an awareness of Zacchaeus in that moment when the kindness of Jesus appeared and the invitation of Jesus appeared, that it changed and melted his heart. Something changed. He became a spirit of generosity. He was aware of his own sin and how he cheated some, and then he committed toward restoration. He says, I will pay back four times that amount. Now, we don't know all the story. Some church historians actually think Zacchaeus might have become a church leader. But in this moment, what we see is that Jesus makes it clear that that little interchange that he had with Zacchaeus was a life-changing moment for him. That salvation had come to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was now saved. He says, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. And I like how he kind of throws it back to the people, right? I mean, the people are like, this guy's a traitor. He's a tax collector. He's not really one of us. And the first thing that Jesus says to him is, one, he is saved. He's part of the people of God. And don't forget, he is a son of Abraham. He is one of you, whether you like it or not. Jesus makes it clear that Zacchaeus was saved. And then Jesus lays out his own mission and reminds the people who were murmuring what he said in other places of Luke, which is this, that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, again, I want you to notice two threads in this. One, it's the thread of the messianic title. We looked at it last week when we saw it before. Jesus is using terms like the Son of Man that were used to describe the future person who's going to come and deliver the people of God. And so even in this, after all the people questioned him and questioned his actions of engaging with sinful people and broken people and inviting himself into their home, he declares their salvation, that they are part of the people of God. That's what the Son of Abraham is signifying. And then he says, I am still that messianic figure, even though I'm coming in a way that you don't expect. But what I came for isn't the political oppression that you're delivering, getting rid of the political oppression that you thought, but rather, I am coming to seek and save people like Zacchaeus. People like you and I. We are the lost. Now, how does the story of a wee little man really apply to us? I mean, one, it's great to see God work in this way, but how does it apply to us? Well, I have five questions I think we could ponder this week as we look at this text. The first one is, how strong is your desire to see Jesus? I got to admit to you that oftentimes it's so easy for me to get caught up in everything. Right now, we're in the middle of trying to finish up projects and get on the road trip, that our desire to see Jesus work can easily be overcome by all of those things. I mean, that was really our prayer of confession, wasn't it? It was that all these things can have more of a grip on our time and our energy than what we care to admit. And what we prayed is that our desire for Jesus, to see him work in our lives, would become stronger. What we see is Zacchaeus was willing to humiliate himself. He was willing to run and climb up a tree and do anything it took to see Jesus. And I guess the question that I would have to ask myself, and I would ask that you ask yourself, is what is your desire to see Jesus? How strong is it just to see him at work in your life, to see him change and help you grow in your faith? The second question is, what sins do you and I need to repent of? I mean, that's the heart of the gospel, right? The gospel is that we want to see Jesus, but the way that we see Jesus work in our lives is by understanding that we're still messed up and broken, that we need to deal with all of these things. And so the question that we can ask is, what are those things that we need to work on? And maybe the follow-up question would be, how could you restore these things if we want to follow the model of Zacchaeus? So the first person I want us to identify is Zacchaeus. How is that desire, and what are those things that we need to repent of, and how can restore things? But here's the thing. We're not always like Zacchaeus. We don't always have that desire. We don't always have that brokenness. Sometimes we're more like the crowd. We kind of, even those of us who have grown up in the church or been in the church for a while, we can kind of have these expectations of who we think God can work in their lives in, and who they shouldn't, and who the good people are and the bad people. And so who are the people that you would murmur against if they showed up here at church or if they entered into your life? Who are the people that you look down on and think that they're too far away from God? Maybe that's one of the things that you and I need to repent of, that we think that there are some people who are too far away from God, or there's some people that we think, man, really, do you have to put these people in my life? Because they're really a drain, man. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to kind of have that kind of perspective and not even realize it? It's so easy for us to kind of put up our noses more than we care to admit. But I also want you to think about the role that Jesus played in the life of Zacchaeus. I started off the sermon by listing off all the reasons why Zacchaeus shouldn't be someone who came to know the Lord. He was as embedded in the culture as you can imagine. He was all about himself, accumulating wealth. Jesus had just warned that the potential for wealth has the potential to keep people away just because they're so consumed with their own comfort. If it becomes the priority, there's nothing wrong with wealth. It's just what it affords us and how easy it can be. But yet it's exactly that person that Jesus takes the initiative and invites into his life, himself into his life, that God works in that way. So I want you to think about, who are those folks in your life that seem too far away from God? Who are the people that you think, you know, my loved one, they don't want anything to do with God. Anytime I even talk about them, they just shut down the conversation. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend or a neighbor. And there's this burden in your heart that it's like, Lord, they're on my heart, but I just can't even want to imagine to pray that they would even come to faith, because it just seems so far-fetched. Well, the story of Zacchaeus reminds us that God's grace is greater than all of the obstacles that we think are there. Jesus invited himself into the house of the chief tax collector, the person that he just said, it could be really difficult for people like this to come to faith, and yet he says, no, I'm here on a mission to seek the lost, and what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so I want to encourage you this week to think about the story of Zacchaeus and to apply it to your own life and think about those people that you want to see come to know the Lord. And maybe God can use it to encourage your hearts, to pray for them and to take the risk of even sharing with them or opening your life to them, because you want to join the mission of God. Remember, no matter how far somebody may seem, it doesn't mean that they're far from God's grace, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. That's what the story of Zacchaeus reminds us. When Jesus reveals himself to people and invites them in, He can do amazing things. And so I encourage you to remember that truth for those that have loved ones or family members or friends and neighbors that don't know the Lord. The last thing I want to just ask is, who are those non-believers in your life that God may be calling you to reach out to and spend time with? You know, I think it's interesting. Jesus could have just done this to say, hey, Zacchaeus, you need to put your hope and trust in me. Come down from that tree. Put your trust in me and let's move on. He could have worked that way, but he didn't. He invited into his home. He showed him fellowship. He spent time with him. And God used that to change Zacchaeus' life. Now, we are not the Son of God. We do not have the powers that Jesus has. But God puts people in our paths for a reason. And so I want you to think about that this week. Who are those people that may be all around you that you're not even aware of, that God may have put there just so that you can form a relationship and spend time with and hang out with them, not just so they get converted, okay? Like, we can't just say, oh, I'm going to spend time with you, and if you don't respond to my thing, then I'm going to move on. No, just invest in people's lives for the sake of potentially God working that way. Be friends with them, whether they respond to the gospel or not, and especially if they don't, because then you just feel like you're using them. Spend time with people, but who are those people that God may have put in your life and maybe calling you to reach out to and spend time with? I encourage you just to think about those talents and gifts or those hobbies that God's given you and find people who can do those things and spend time with them in that way. The story of Zacchaeus is not about a wee little man who climbed up in the tree. The story of Zacchaeus is about Jesus inviting himself into Zacchaeus' life and showing him grace when no one else would. Showing him that God cared for him enough that he would invite himself into the home of the worst of all the sinners, as far as the Jewish people believed. A complete traitor who was completely far away from God. And the story of Zacchaeus is about a man's encounter with Jesus and how it radically changed his life. He went from a person consumed with himself to a person consumed with generosity and restoration. God can still work in your life, in my life, that way when we're like Zacchaeus. And it gives us hope that God can also work in the lives of our loved ones who are in that spot. Let's pray.
You have just watched a sermon from Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we'd love to have you come join us for a worship service on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 311 North Parkway Avenue in Battleground, Washington. If you'd like to find more information about us online, you can find it at crosswaychurchwa.com.